Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence again this morning, and we thank you for your word of promise, which you have abundantly fulfilled, that the Spirit was given to us to teach us all things, bring all things to our remembrance, and we realize then, Lord, that you're working through our minds as well as through our spirits, and they must all come together so that the word and the mind, the spirit, and soul all become one under the headship of you yourself, Father, even as one day the Son must hand back all things to you, that you become all in and all. And we're on that journey now, Lord, and may we realize it and then hold our cups open at all times that we might be filled with your word, which is abundant in this hour, which is full of life, knowing as the prophet said and proving it, there is no message outside of this message which has life in it or comes to life, which will bring forth a resurrection. And we thank you, Lord, it's in the Word. May that Word be in us, that we might be a part of it. We believe that it is, and therefore we thank you, Father, for being part of that resurrection, part of yourself, part of your grace, a part of everything, Lord, that is bodily coming from you. And one day, Lord, we know it's going to be placed exactly as it should be, as you want it, and we appreciate that. So we thank you this morning now, Lord, for your Spirit teaching us your Word, and we know it will be correct and right, because you never leave anything undone. Your gifts are perfect. Your ways are perfect. And you're bringing us to a place of perfection. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to continue from the other night. And you notice I was reading from the book of Genesis. And we were in that third chapter where God was speaking to the woman, and of course that is Eve, and he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And of course we realize that that looks all the way down to the time of Christ, but God would not have said that unless it were actual factual that Eve actually could have borne that seed, which is Christ, as we showed you the successive messages, and also last night showed you again that this is something, a scripture that you will find as after the fact. Even as Satan came to Eve and told her things that God had not told her, but were included in a limited, not in a limited sense, but in a veiled sense, that it lay there in the Word, and it hadn't been actually revealed at that particular time. So I used the thought of after the fact, and I went over here and showed you how that the crime that was done, perpetrated by calculated premeditation, which would actually, a judge or a jury would have to render the verdict of a first-degree murder, because in the eating thereof dying thou shalt surely die. And Satan actually planned the death of Adam and Eve and the human race, and he deceived Eve into perpetrating that crime with him. So she was in collusion with him, and she became an accessory at that particular time. And an accessory then would make her absolutely liable for death. And now you'll notice over here that Adam entered into the crime after the fact. And when he entered the crime after the fact and deliberately caused Eve to become pregnant in order to save her from the wrath of Almighty God, then as an Adam all were living at that time, then an Adam all died. And he is guilty after the fact. Now he would not have sustained as great a punishment as Eve, but he would all but have to be punished, very definitely so. So using the term after the fact is certainly a completely legal and a lawful term at this particular time, because it's lawful on the grounds that God said the eating thereof brings death. And the collusion in hair, entering into a place, as Brother Branham himself declared, that Adam played God. Now, when a man starts to play God down up here, which he did, then you can well understand how it is that he actually entered into Satan's plan who himself would play God. See, so Adam forgave her on the grounds of him wanting her, now in collusion coming against God. Down here at the end, we saw Satan tried to do that to Jesus, and he successfully has done it in the church, until his brother Branham said, this man sits in the temple of God, posing that he is God, and the grounds was, he's forgiving sin. So you can see what we're looking at here. Every single seed here is brought down to the end time. Every single seed of the Garden of Eden, which was God's headquarters, is brought down again at the end time in the pearly white city descending out of heaven, which we may get time to talk about this morning. But I want to just, keep that in your mind so you can see all of these things here in a very logical, and I would say a very beautiful way to illuminate your understanding. Now, we all know, as Brother Branham said, that Jesus Christ, of course, was a spoken word Son of Almighty God. And you notice how he came. He had to come by the Virgin and to redeem us from all of our sins. And, of course, we too should have been spoken word children. But as I showed you here in the book of First Peter, that though that was to be, and it wasn't, it caught up with us. And so Peter says here, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, what is the truth? The truth can only be the Word of God illuminated to your understanding so that you have a correct revelation. Because anything, even though factual, that is not understood so that it can be correctly applied, and correctly means within the context and framework of whatever that is, could not be truth. It could not be truth. It would be a lie. And remember, the greatest lie is 99% true. That's why latter rain was the closest to what Brother Branham brought us, and yet they failed miserably. So he says here now, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So you've got successive thoughts there. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now that is the same thing that John said. Now if you keep your finger there, we can take you back and show you again the correctness of Brother Branham's statements in the book of John in the 3rd chapter. And in there, the 3rd chapter says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Peter says here, being born again in verse 23. Now, he says here then, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now, Nicodemus hits it right on the head. Born is born. No matter how you cut it, it's still born. So therefore now, if you must be born again, there had to be something wrong with the first birth, or there'd be no need for a second birth. So we're dealing with birth. And birth is caused by conception. Birth is caused by the sperm and the egg uniting in a sexual act of intercourse to bring forth children. Now, Brother Branham categorically said the church turned down a spiritual sexual affair with Jesus Christ, which would have brought forth, or with Almighty God, which would have brought forth the Son of God in flesh at this hour. They turned it down flat. Now, keep that in mind, because these things are specific concerning the wording which Brother Branham gives in Spoken Word as Original Seed, which I hope we can remember and bring it to your attention. Now he says here, you must be born again. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. It isn't that way. Except a man be born of water, even of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can have water and spirit, which is water baptism, and then the Spirit of God coming upon him. Or you can have the thought here of water is referred to as a spirit, as a type, also as oil, also as rain. But so also is the Word of God, as rain and snow. Now he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now, we should have had a spirit birth, which would have been a spoken word birth, according to what Peter brings out. Marvel not, as he must be born again. He said this. Now, they have here, the wind bloweth where it listeth. That is a stupid translation. It's the Spirit breatheth where he willeth. Because the Spirit was breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became the breath of life, which is the Spirit of God, breathed in Adam's nostrils. He became a living soul. And that was passed on down. So there's nothing wrong with that which is born. It's how it's born. Because he said, you must be born again. There's, what's wrong is the birth. You understand what I'm saying? It's not what's born that's wrong. How can the part of God be born in the human race and be wrong? That's why Brother Branham said, there'll come a day you'll find you always were saved. How could a part of you that's born of God sin? He tells you you're put here in flesh to be tested. And it's in the temptation and the testing that people fall. So therefore, there's something wrong with the way the person was born. See? That's what you're looking at. Now, Brother Branham said they would have come to the sexual act, and they certainly would have. But had Christ been produced first, then everything would have been in order. And you would not have found man going out of disorder, even as the beasts of the field are in order, because the female will never come to the male unless she is ready to conceive. And multiplied conception came a long time down the road after the beast race united with the human race. And that's why you've got these sextuplets and quadruplets and everything else. You'll find the limit in the Bible was twins. And every time they were twins, one bad, one good. My God, who wants it? See, get your types all in there. You'll see there's there was nothing wrong with the who. My eyes, my ears, my nose, who's me? You were in your Father. He desired fellowship with you. Then through the bedding grounds, through sacred matrimony, you came forth to have fellowship. There's nothing wrong with the you. It's the how. So now he says, you got to be born again. Now he said, the Spirit breatheth where he willeth. God breathed out his nostrils, breath of life, you became a living soul. And thou hearest the sound thereof. Now, the sheep hear the voice. The air is full of sounds. It's full of voices. What sound is from God? What sound, what voice is from God? There were two voices in the Garden of Eden. There were two sounds in the Garden of Eden. Which did she listen to? See? Which did she hearken to? So the whole thing came into a tragic interruption, as Brother Branham called it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, a woman doesn't get pregnant by listening. She doesn't get pregnant by hearing. She gets pregnant through sexual intercourse. This has nothing to do with sexual intercourse. It's hearing. This is where God is, as Brother Branham said, bringing forth children now, where the virgin birth is nothing compared to what God is doing through the human race, trillions and trillions and trillions of sperm and egg, in billions of people, and yet spawning down brings them right together in a miracle form. You talk about a computer mind. The infinite mind and wisdom of Almighty God combined with His omnipotence bringing forth sons and daughters in a mixed lump of clay. See? If you're going to be born again, you're going to be born again by the Spirit breathing. And you'll hear His voice and you'll follow that voice. And that word, that voice, full of life, breathed upon you, brings you straight back to God. Now your birth is 100% correct. This is where the baptism with the Holy Ghost puts us above the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sealed back unto Almighty God, no ifs, ands, buts, no chance of ever being lost or anything again, because God does not simply lose something in order to find it. This is in collaboration. And in perfection with His nature, God being a Savior. It was necessary to predestinate a sinner in order for God to have purpose and reason of being. So now we have the perfect plan of God in here. And now watch over here in John, the same third chapter. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because God sent his Son into the world that everybody could be saved. He that believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God, he's already condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather light because their deeds are evil. So it tells you right there that the Word of God has every single thing to do whether you're born again or not. So now if you're born again, you have had to heard a sound, you've had to have heard a voice. And there's no sound or voice without signification of some kind. It signifies something. What does the voice at the end time signifies? Ours especially, we're fortunate. We have thus saith the Lord, and know this is absolutely the voice of Almighty God, and to listen and to believe, to having received, proves that we are a part of God, and we do have the Holy Spirit. Baptized right back into Him again. So you see, we're right back to what the birth is all about. It was a wrong birth. Now it's a right birth. And that right birth, as Brother Branham told us, in marriage and divorce, God will create again, not by sex, but by bringing the calcium, the potash, and all these other things together, and bring forth in a resurrection from the dead. Now back to Peter again. He said, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently with a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible. Now that word in there, seed, is spora. I remember years ago I was told by a fellow that's supposed to know the Greek is spermos, not sperma, spora. And spora has to do with flowers and seeds, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now why does he use the word spora instead of sperma? Because absolutely that which is born of sperma has got to die. Well, he's using here an illustration, like an analogy, something like that. So he's gone to grass. For all flesh is as grass. Doesn't say it is grass. It's as grass, so therefore it is spora. Now if he said all flesh is beast, he'd use sperma. See? There's a difference. Because it tells you in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul agreeing with Peter, all flesh is not the same and the resurrection is not the same. There's one flesh of man, there's one flesh of beast, there's one flesh of fish, there's one flesh of birds, and there's right down the line. And he said, so also is the resurrection. And there is. Those that are resurrected in the bride, I have no doubt they're exactly like Jesus Christ. How far that goes, I can't say. But there's always there's parameters. Okay, the next thing you find, there's a foolish virgin. I can't say too much about her. Now, what about those that are brought up to suffer in the lake of fire? They've got another flesh. Everything is commensurate. Even as Brother Branham said, before there was a fish with a fin, there was waters to swim in. So everything is relative. Related to what God has in mind, and everything there then is in perfect harmony, and I use that word loosely, for whatever is there, because there's not much harmony in the lake of fire. But there's certainly a compatibility. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now Peter uses the word grass, and that's a very good term. Now you don't have to use the word grass at all the times, how? Because you got here over here, you got wheat. Jesus used the term wheat, and used the term tare. So now you got that which bears fruit, which is fit. The fit fruit. This will bear a fruit, it is not fit. See? This, every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted, is going to be exterminated, going to be rooted up. So therefore, we find that. We also find that Jesus, in speaking in the seventh chapter of Matthew, and we go over here back to Matthew, we find a variegation. So, In the 15th verse, beware of prophets who come to you in sheep clothes. Okay, now we got animal. And then he says here, they are ravening wolves, and they're wolves. Okay? Then he says here, you shall know them by their fruit. Well, if I know an animal by fruit, a pig will bring pigs. Wolves will bring wolves. But he doesn't say that. He said, you know them by their fruit. Every good tree, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So now we've got trees. And we got good, we got trees, we got bad. Okay, we got good fruit, we got bad fruit. Okay, who are these people? They are prophets. Every tree that a good tree bringeth forth cannot bring forth evil fruit, an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Okay? Every plant my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be destroyed. Now, what did God plant in the Garden of Eden? He planted Adam and Eve. Who became the intruder? Satan became the intruder. Who was it to Satan? What was the Satan used? The highest order of beast that there is, and commingled with her, and therefore brought forth a plant that must be destroyed. See? Now remember, Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And as Brother Branham said, she said exactly right. Because the foulest, rottenest woman can bring forth a child, and that child comes forth according to the laws of God, and therefore God is behind it. Now you can't blame him if you take and run things out of context or out of order. But the point is, it's all from God. Because there is no power that is not a God. There is nothing that is not a God. Nothing at all in this universe. Because when God was all alone, the first thing that came forth was the forming of a light, which was his son. And you notice in here that God becomes the tree, and out of that tree there comes a branch. And the branch bears fruit. So in here, all right, we have the sun. Here's the one that's going to bring fruit. And that fruit that comes from the life of God will all be presented back to God. Okay? Now, just a little bypass. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cast down, cast of fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits, you know them. Now, he's talking about prophets. See? So, all right, we've got fruits. Now, what is a prophet all about? He's all about word. Because a false prophet, a true prophet, comes to you, Deuteronomy 18, in the name of the Lord, and by that, the sign that God gives him, like he gave unto Moses in a word prophet, you know that what follows is, thus saith the Lord, is the word of God. What comes behind him? What comes behind him is a prophet who has signs and wonders, but not thus saith the Lord. He has prophecy, but not thus saith the Lord. No way, shape, and form. No way. The highest order is Numbers 12. Not dreams and visions, but speaking even apparently, where God becomes visible to the person, like he came to Moses, like he came to Paul, like he came to William Branham, and no doubt Jeremiah, Isaiah, some of those others. I don't know. I don't know if they qualify it. They would have to qualify. Not in the order of Moses, not in the order of Paul, not in the order of William Branham, but they would qualify. So now, what are we talking about? We're talking about fruit equal word. Now watch what he says here. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now he makes a blank statement. And here's where people get thrown. They cannot understand he's talking about prophets. And one prophet is a sheep prophet, the other is a wolf. The next time you see there's a tree. One is a corrupt tree and one is a good tree. The next thing you see is that the prophet tree brings forth the pure, unadulterated Word of God, which cannot be chopped down, that cannot be dealt with, because God is behind His Word, and every Word of God has power. There's no word that's not void of power, and He stands behind His Word to perform it, and no word will return unto Him void. It must fulfill what it is sent forth to, according to His mind and what He wanted. Now, it says here, we'll come, not everyone entered, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name, and that thy name cast out devils, thy name done wonderful works? And he'll say, I never knew you. Now watch what they're doing here. They're using the name of Jesus Christ in mighty signs and wonders under the aegis, which is the shield or the patronage of Satan. Satan is using the name of Jesus Christ in the church to glorify himself. And that's the Pentecostal chap. Now, I hope you're listening. Because if you don't listen, you don't get it. You're just out of luck. Because you're going to get fooled just as sure as you're sitting here, and I know I can call you by name. You're going to get fooled if you don't understand what I said last night, what I'm saying this morning. Because you've got to listen and line up with this word or forget it. Because the ample proof of Matthew 7 is the proof of Matthew 12 and Matthew 4, the return ministry of the Son of Man, which is God in a prophet, absolutely God vindicating himself to a vindicated prophet, to a vindicated word, to a people who stand vindicated by believing it, proving they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and hearing the voice. See, hearing the proper sound. Because the two sounds came in the Garden of Eden. And at the end time, the two voices are here right now. See? So, alright, we have the branch here. Now, you can take that branch of a tree, and you notice that a branch can be broken off. It grows up in here, the life comes out of here, but the strange thing is, that can be broken off. And the branch that was put forth was broken off in the sense of Christ dying on Calvary for you and me. But the actual truth of the matter is that this being God here and the light coming forth is the sun. But in this tree, the bride tree, what we have here coming up, you'll find that Jesus is called. He said, He is the root and offspring. How can he be the root of David and yet the offspring of David? It's the same as the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. David was in Jesus back here, this branch that brought all these sons out here. David was down in here. And David comes up in here from the very source of life that this root is, because he was in him. And now Jesus comes. And the tribe of Judah, wherein David lay, and he is the prophet king type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're looking at branches, and I said they can be cut off. But let's go a little further now to John 15. Now, all of these things, they just sort of help you as I go along, because I want to weave it in at this time so you not only refresh your memories, but you get the picture I want you to understand. I am the vine and my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now what does he say? I am the vine and you are the branches. Okay, we got a vine. Here's the old grapevine coming up like this here. And here's the wire. Here's some posts. Like this here, and here's this vine like this here. Now there's a strange thing about a vine. You can take this vine, and you can rip down on it, but it's not like a tree that gets full of snow and ice and breaks. You actually got to take and prune it, because it's got fibers that evidently run in here and in here, and you'd have one whale of a job breaking it off. Isn't that right? You ever take a vine? You can't do it. So you got to prune it. Now then, the only way that that vine gets that branch off of it is you got to take the shears, you got to cut it off. As long as that vine is abiding there, it's going to be pruned. It's going to be exercised through the temptation of the flesh, wherein the Scripture says, he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. In other words, when you get your knuckles wrapped enough, you'll smarten up. Remember, God's education hurts. His child training, but it hurts. Number one, it hurts your pride. That's a big thing. Not only that, it could hurt you financially in other ways too. But remember, God will teach you His lessons that you need to learn. Now, the first branch that came forth was a Pentecostal branch. Okay, now we got to return to that because that's back there in Ephesus. Now, that Pentecostal branch was born on the day of Pentecost when God came down and hovered. And after the Holy Ghost was given to those people, and the Holy Ghost set the first church in order, because the day of Pentecost started a bride church, and for a few years in there, there was a platform being built, as Brother Branham called, for the Gentile church. Now you will notice, after the pillar of fire and the baptism with the Holy Ghost came what? Paul and the Word. Now, if there's going to be a Pentecostal branch, and Brother Branham said if it ever sets forth, he called it a tree, though, ever puts forth another branch, and Paul calls it a tree, we'll go back and show you that maybe. But Jesus says vine. So if it's going to put forth another branch, a Pentecostal branch, it has to be through the visitation of God Himself coming down, baptizing those believers into the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's got to be a messenger follow it with the Word of the living God. And people tell you all around, we've got to go back to Pentecost, and all they can think of is talking in tongues, hip hurrah, hallelujah, have a good time. We can have a good time going to hell. In fact, that's how you go to hell, is having a good time. For he who liveth in pleasure, dead while she liveth. So, all right. Now, we start down here then with this Pentecostal branch on this vine. Number two, we come up under Irenaeus. Number three, Martin, Columba, Luther, and so on. And you notice how when they stop bearing fruit, and they stop bearing fruit because they went away from the Word. See? They left that Word, and remember the life is in the Word. That's why Brother Branham makes this statement here. So he was the seed, and the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life, life had to come through that seed, and that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Now, what was he? He was the Word, living Word, revealed and manifested. And that life has broken upon us for 2,000 years. And the Word, now here's where everybody goes haywire, because they simply will not believe Brother Branham. Every age had a Word allotted to them. And the first age had the perfect Word wherein lay every single thing to bring about a rapture, but it couldn't do it because the bride wasn't all in, going to take 2,000 years to do it. So in that time that God had perfection upon earth through His presence, through the pillar of fire, through the living Word of the living God, they went haywire through gifts in the Corinthian church. In other words, they defeated themselves by going into a higher criticism or Gnosticism based upon the fact that they were speaking in tongues, casting out devils, everything that Judas did, but Judas himself was a devil, and the devil incarnated himself in him to betray Jesus Christ. So you better believe it's the last time with this prophet here, in our age, there's going to be an incarnation of Satan in somebody. And he's going to be, I believe, that pope that comes out of America and is going to do those terrible things. Now, the first stage, because it was sin, let's read about it so you don't get yourself all messed up here. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And he says here, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." First of all, he said, "Would to God you'd bear with me in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Now, Paul's pretty sarcastic here in my books right now. He said, "Okay, I'm a fool," he said. "I'm a fool, according to you guys. So bear with me. I'm a nut. Listen to me anyway." Now, put this to Brother Branham. Put it to Brother Rand. Kentucky hillbilly. No education. Who does he think he is? Said the same thing to Jesus. "You're going to tell us something, you snot-nosed individual? Who are you anyway?" Huh? If you don't have the same thing thrown in your face, you are not a God. I'm going to tell you flat. Because you better be like your master. Who are you to tell us? If you hadn't had experience, oh, brother, what have you had? All right, bear with me. I'm a fool, so bear with me. I talk like a nut, so listen to the nut. "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your minds, your cotton-picking brains, need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Huh? Thank you. Got a little grunt somewhere. See if I can get you to grunt a little louder. Maybe I set it to one side. Oh, my. Can't trust myself for nothing. Should be here somewhere and I could read it here. I had it this morning. I must have left it somewhere. Oh, maybe I left it here. Brother Brand says, "I know you think I'm crazy." Apostle Paul reincarnated in William Branham. "Now, I know you think I'm nuts, but bear with me. For some of these days at the judgment bar, when I stand by your side, you're going to find different. I'm not a nut." What people need is their brains baptized. That isn't the same Holy Ghost talking through Paul and William Branham. I'll eat it. I don't have to eat nothing. I want to show you this man was identical by Almighty God. And you step out of line, you're no longer a virgin, you're no longer nothing. You're messed up a harlot. So, all right. Back again to Corinthians. "Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." So, all right. The candlestick or the vine was cut off. So, what does God do? He brings Irenaeus. Irenaeus hypnosticism. And tried to get them back to the irreproachable, impeachable, irrefutable, vindicated word of Almighty God, because he was the disciple of Polycarp, who was the disciple of John, that understood these things. What happened? Gnosticism grew and grew and grew. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. But every single time you notice when the fruit, it needs to be there, a persecution sets in on the church. Adversity sets in. And it's under adversity that the tree gets strong, especially the tree, not the vine. See, a vine can be shaken by the wind, and it simply flops and curls around. But we talked about a tree. Now, forget we're talking about God. We're just talking about a tree. Talking about the bride tree. This old oak tree down here, the more the wind shakes it and the storms come, the deeper grows the roots, the better grows the hold. And at the same time, when the tree is shaken, it would mean the earth would then somehow not be so stuck around about it. The rain could come on down, and all those things then would give the tree a better growth. So, all right, we were looking at that, and we were talking here over in, we were in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we're just comparing these things to show in various places where it's called a, what's called animal, it's called plants, it's called trees, it's called, and also there's a terminology, the eagle is a prophet, and the prophet is not an eagle without God. Only God can see, but he sees through the eyes of God. The last moving part of the human body is the eye, from then on is the brain, and it doesn't move. What are you seeing with? You're seeing with the eyes of God, because a prophet has to have the eyes of God in order to see. All of these things are shown in here, and they all have different meanings and different things allotted to them. But all through here you can see in what you might, you could call analogy, you call it anything you want. Call it a parable. You just go ahead and call it a comparison. It's an illustration. How we come from the very beginning. And back up in here there was a tree of life back in the beginning. Down here again comes the tree of life way at the end of time. So, this is what I was looking at, and I know it's disjointed in a way, as we're but it gives me a chance to bring these things out, answering the question about Eve, should she have borne Christ, and the answer is absolutely true. Now let's go one step further. Eve should have borne Christ. Okay, here over here, we have two people. We have Sarah. And we have Hagar. And here we have Abraham. Okay. Now, Sarah was a legitimate wife of Abraham. Hagar was actually a handmaid of Sarah, who became a concubine and became a mother of Abraham's son, which is Ishmael. You notice that Ishmael, though coming from the loins of Abraham, was the firstborn, Cain. And over here, Abraham to Sarah was the Isaac, which was Abel, to lineage. So, Paul now uses an analogy. And he goes over here in the book of Galatians, and he speaks of that analogy concerning the church. My children whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my what? Voice. Sound. For I stand in doubt of you. Tell me you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? What voice are you listening to? For it's written, Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondmaid was born after the flesh. Now, if he's born after the flesh, he could not have been a spoken word child. No way, shape, and form. After the flesh, he could not have had the life of God. Couldn't have it. Which the Word would come back upon with the Holy Ghost and put establish him as a child of God in the kingdom. Now you look at all the Ishmaels today, the Arabs and all the rest of them. They claim that God demanded Abraham to sacrifice Ishmael. Hogwash, he didn't have nothing to do with it. Not your Christians, you're any better, Christians so-called. Remember the Bible said, thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And if Jesus is our God, and he is in the sense we can worship him, because he's worshipped in heaven and earth, there's no problem about it. And understanding who he is, that people are going to answer for it. Men will come in that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and thy name done this, and thy name? You say, oh yeah, depart from me. They're going to answer for it. Thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You shall not take the name of Jesus and use it contrary to Scripture. Okay. Now the Bible distinctly says, who are you, he said, that you bear my name in your mouth, and you're expected to me to hear your prayers, and you disobey my word, you don't have any time for it. They got problems. So all right, here we have this one right here. We have Hagar, and we have Sarah. Now they're tights. And he said, which things? He said, who? One was born after the flesh, one by the of the free woman, was by promise. Now she was a free woman. She, of course she's free, because, let's keep reading anyway, you get the idea. Which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered the bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now where is Arabia? You see why there's a conflict right now between Israel and the Arabs? Now, which way do you think America is going to go and everybody else? They're going to go for the oil. They're going to go for the money. Israel is going to be left high and dry before it's over. America will turn on her. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So what's that? That's Sarah. Now, what's a bastard child? A bastard child is not what you think it is. A bastard child is the right man with the wrong woman. An Israelite with a Gentile. Abraham had the wrong woman in Hagar. So, Ishmael is a bastard. Now, what seed are you born of? Are you born of organization? Are you born of church? Are you born of the right word? Or are you born of the wrong word? Because the bride is word, just like her daddy, just like her husband. Because her daddy's her husband. Her brother Branham said, my wife is not my daughter, yet she is my daughter in the gospel. So, we're looking at this picture now here, and remember, only the bride has the true seed. Because she alone has the true word. So therefore, in this hour, we are going to have a perfectly legitimate church with perfectly legitimate children, bringing about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh once more, as it was back there. So I brought these things to attention to let you know, brother, sister, there's a whole lot more bastards from Hagar. Got the wrong seed, because you must be born of the word of the living God, that word which liveth and abideth forever. And if the living word that abides forever is not in you and me, we are not the seed of the living God. Because it was that seed that burst open, that watered us to bring forth the fruit. In other words, the life sealed back to God. Our body's born wrong. Now reborn out of the dust through resurrection power, will stand there just like he stands. Now you can begin to see why Brother Branham preached spoken word as original seed. The bride tree and all these other things that are in there. Because he was giving us the true history. And remember, Paul was not a historian. He simply used the word. Moses was the historian. But William Branham classed himself, and it's right on the tape that he sent to me privately, the Perry Green shoved around the world, and I don't mind, that's fine by me. And in there he categorically puts himself with Moses and with Paul, with a pillar of fire. So if he were here today, and he doesn't need to be because he already preached it. He already preached Galatians 4, the New Jerusalem Church, the proper mother, and remember, every one of us came from that proper mother. Because that bride alone has had the seed all through the ages. And remember, there was, even if there was just only enough to bear her through the dark ages, at this hour we are looking at the eastern gate of the temple, where the waters came to the ankles, came to the knees, came to the thighs, water to swim in, water to carry you over. And I'm going to tell you something. We're in that right now. Those waters are warm. They're not treacherous. It's only our fear that really bothers us. It's only our unbelief, our hesitancy about a full commitment. I'm going to tell you something. You will not sink. And you'll be surprised and amazed at the fact that you will, even with a dog paddle, and without even your dog paddle, you'll find that you'll be carried over. And no matter how many spirits assail you, it won't really matter. Unless you're truly allergic to the bee sting or the insect sting, because you got the wrong equipment in your body somehow, or your spiritual light, you won't swell up and die from a bee sting. In fact, I doubt if you'll even get stung, but you'd be greatly bothered. Now, what I'm saying this morning is worth everything to put everything aside for. Where nothing counts except the word of the living God. And are meditating therein day and night. And when we speak as the oracles of God, which means we say what God said and nothing else. For all the apostles and all the writers of the Bible had a beautiful collaboration, though hundreds and hundreds of years apart, because it was given them by Almighty God Himself, who is that great prophet. So I've covered that now. Took a long time to cover it. But as far as I'm concerned, that subject is covered. And the subject is, Eve should have produced that seed. So he was that seed. And the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life, life had to come through the seed. And it sure did. There's no doubt about it. Still coming through by natural childbirth, as we have it today. But if that life is not joined back to God by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you cannot come forth in the right body for the eternality of the flesh that lies ahead of us. Because as long as we within ourselves, being a part of God, are eternal, there will be that covering, that manifestation, just the same as God dwells in the pillar of fire. He could change as he wills to change, and that's fine. As the sun changed from that body to a human body, and that's eternal, because of the eternal forces within, so we have at this very hour and this very day. He said the seed had to die to spread out that light. Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. In other words, without the baptism with the Holy Ghost that comes through the word of the living God, word piled upon word, you could never come to maturity. It could never produce what God wants produced. That life has come back upon us to guarantee us through him who had the right birth. Now, he had the right father the same as we do. He had that. But he had the right birth. And that life now guarantees you and me, because that's what Ephesians is all about. The sealing into the day of redemption. And the great sealer himself is here. As Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, Jehovah Elohim, the altogether lovely, right down the line. The all in and all. Okay. We have a question here then. This question relates to the serpent seed doctrine. We went into that. He said, pure human stream of life was all that was in him. When it came to the matter of reproducing human species, the prophet made it clear to us that the male of the species carries a seed. As a consequence of this fact, Adam's relationship with Eve could only produce more human beings. Conversely, the serpent's relationship with Eve could only produce the seed of the serpent. And that's basically true on the grounds of the instigator of life. And remember that Adam was the instigator of life for Eve, because Eve didn't have anything more than what lay in Adam. The only thing different was when God separated the two, he put her in a female body. With the female, not only the appurtenances, but the female spirit. And there she was to be the mother. And even as we read in Scripture, the woman is of the man is of the woman, yet the woman is of the man. You find that over in the book of Corinthians. If you want to take a look at it, Paul brings it up very, very clearly. Brother Brannock said the seed, the male carries the seed. That is very true, but the male by himself is useless. The life that was in Adam wouldn't do one thing without Eve. That's why we got it right today. That's why if she had a child, it should have been by spoken word. He would have been the author of the spoken word, would have brought it to pass. You say, how could that be? Just the same as the woman said, be unto me according to thy word. That's all it was. The time to bear forth that son, be it unto us according to thy word. that would have been it. For it says here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said that right, verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now that's where Brother Branham brings his step down. She wasn't the original creation. But she has a glory. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. That's original. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's original. For this cause, he ought to have power, that's authority, to have over her, on her head because of the messengers, or angel, where you want to put it. In other words, now, the woman was free in the Garden of Eden, co-equal with Adam, no longer that's the case as it is. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, notice, in the Lord. And that tells you, how did you get the right seed? Both of them have a problem with their flesh. But the coming together of that egg with the right seed is going to have to take, right down the line, pick the elements, the genes out of what's the human race. And I'm talking now about life. Because that egg isn't dead. If that egg was dead, it was rotten. But remember, the egg has to be a fresh egg. And the fertilization takes place in that fresh egg, and therefore there comes forth. So that actually, the woman has a life which came from the man. And that life that came from the man and the woman's in that egg. And they get together. And that fusion brings forth that human instrument. And that's why you see physical characteristics from each one. And if a woman were to bear, and you could have it by cloning, it'd be a female. Now, if they began messing with the genes and all, they might bring forth something. But it'd be outside the plan of God entirely, and men might start to rejoice and say, there it is, we were producing life. And as Brother Branham said, when they get this far, it's all over. You got to watch it. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. See, there, right there. God's in complete control of sexual intercourse, bringing forth children. That's why Brother Branham said, you just take the children as God gives them. Yet there is a means of natural control. See? So, all right, that's what you're looking at there, as far as I can see here. Because I cannot believe for one minute that everything lies within the male at this particular time, because it was taken out of the male in the beginning, so therefore it's still out of the male. And remember, Eve wasn't a corpse. She was a living person, and she was of the man. Now with reproduction, the two together are able to make children. But always,
depends on the fertilization which comes from the male. This is one thing that's so sickening about these lousy, rotten lesbians. They'll even go so far now for one of them that's the queen or whatever you want to call her, the female part, for the male. Oh, God, have pity. I can't even talk about it. But when she gets pregnant, she's going to go to somebody and ask for a donation of sperm, but she won't go the natural method of intercourse. Pigs. Pigs. I don't know why I should even insult a pig. Brother Branham said they do it just because it's proper for them to do it. A woman anytime, she's a garbage disposal. The pure human life stream was all that was in him when it came to a matter of reproducing human species. The prophet made it clear to us that the male, right, as a consequence of Adam's relationship, we could only bring forth humans. Converse the spirit, the serpent's relationship. And that's right. The life of the serpent was reproduced in the egg of a woman. And that's what that life was. The female life in that woman had a soul. The life qualities combined together to bring forth a perversion. That's why you'll find that all the souls, that there's nobody that doesn't have a soul. And if you think that, and I know the theologians are correct, Brother Branham said it was true, that animals don't have souls. If you go to the Bible, I can show you in the Hebrew that they have souls. Yet Brother Branham used a terminology that makes it very clear, inner soul. So that gene within there, that intrinsic, pure life of God lay in Adam, went down to Eve, producing a life, a body. The serpent got to her, she allowed it, brought forth the serpent seed, the human races and the serpent race mixed. But not one soul or life from that serpent is a soul from God. Noah was the last genetically pure human left on earth. Question is, how did he end up having a grandson like Canaan, who being cursed, was shown to be serpent seed? Brother Branham referred to the fact serpent seed was carried over in the ark by the women. That's true. Because you see, the whole thing was a blending of flesh, of the human flesh with the serpent, the beast flesh, and the blending of two lives. And you got one lump. And today you've got predominantly beasts. 99.999 show they came from one father. But don't let that make you think that you can find yourself genetically to be a son of God through the flesh. It's impossible. Don't even try. It would take you maybe countless ages and countless computers and you still wouldn't find out. Serpent seed. Now, knowing his son that came out of Ham, Shem, and Japheth came out of the righteous line. How did the seed ever get over? The seed came over in the ark, just like in the beginning through the woman, their wives. They carried the seed of Satan through the ark, just as he packed the seed of Satan to give birth to Cain through the woman. That's true. You see, that's how it got there, because Noah himself was fine. But doesn't say one thing about his wife. So therefore now the sons are carrying double identities in their bloodstream. So they get these women. Now who knows who's going to be what? Doesn't really matter. Only God knows. You put women in there. You put women in your platforms for preachers. The Bible condemning it. Paul said, if any man thinks he ought to be a prophet. Now what's Brother Branham doing there? He's likening these women who carried the serpent seed to churches. They have preachers, women preachers. So whose seed do you think the women preachers are of? Oh, we read the history. Jesse Penn Lewis, the Evangeline Booth daughter. Oh, yeah, well, hallelujah. The only person that ever struck terror in the hearts of sinners in Paris was the Evangeline. And yet she tell everybody, hey, put on this uniform that takes the place of water baptism. Then you see her son going into Pentecost. He ends up what? Preaching Jesus only. And universalism. Where the devil and Jesus walk hand in hand through the New Jerusalem. By their fruits you know them. Oh, Brother Vale, they turned the world. Oh, drop dead with the world. Merciful God, we're coming back a little group and take over the whole shebang. What are you talking about? They carried the seed of Satan. Paul said, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet, even spiritual, let him acknowledge things right to you, the commandments of God. But if he's ignorant, let him be ignorant. Bear with me in my folly. If you want to stay stupid, stay stupid. Then you criticize, people criticize me for being rough, tough, and mean. Paul was just as mean as I was, and he had every right to be even meaner. Not mean, just stand with the truth. I'm not here to defend morals. I'm here for the defense of the gospel. You defend all the morals you want. Go join the Salvation Army. Go and do your good works. Join the Sisters of Charity. Go jump in the lake of fire. How is this connected with life coming through the mail? Simple as ABC. He's mixed up too. How and from whom was Cain's life transmitted? Right on down the line. Came from the woman, because Noah was perfect. Wasn't Adam perfect? Wasn't Eve perfect? And didn't she mess with somebody and get all line messed up? And in history, Malin Wilkerson pointed out history absolutely proves there were two lines of people, the spirit of light and the eternal light and the eternal darkness. And the eternal light were beautiful, sweet, meek, pastoral people, loving and kind, not warlike. The other bunch were a bunch of heathen like Nimrod. Like Cain. That's not hard to figure out. Some of the younger people have not heard your message, body, soul, and spirit. The soul producing the body. The spirit coming in at birth. That's just what Brother Branham said. The difference between the souls of the seed of God and the seed of the serpent. But you already know that. What about Ezekiel chapter 18 and 4 and Matthew 10 and 28? Well, that's not hard. If you just follow the line of reasoning, I don't think it's hard. We'll find it here somewhere. Ezekiel chapter 18. And in verse 4, now this, according to my understanding, I'm teaching, I don't understand that, might not be yours or somebody else's, but following the laws that I know, in 4, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, the soul of the sinner that will die. That's true, God owns it all. It's on loan to the devil right now. If you don't believe that, you just say, well, what happens at the end time? Even before the lake of fire, after the white throne judgment, all the hosts of hell led by Satan, because he's out of the pit now. The whole bunch of them come against the holy encampment. Now what does God do? Oh, I think I better turn my back and run. Ha! Fire come down out of heaven. So who owns the souls? Evidently God does. If he can grab every single one and put them in the lake of fire, then he owns them. Right? He's got them. When you go to jail, doesn't a jailer own you? Ha! Try and escape. They shoot you between the eyes. Good shot. Here comes another one. Matthew 10 and 28. That's the same thing again. That's one of your biggie chapters in the Bible. Matthew 10, along with Matthew 12. They're tremendous chapters. Matthew 10 and 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. That's for you and me. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's God. So who are you supposed to be scared of? Who are you supposed to reverence? Who are you supposed to trust? Who are you supposed to put your faith in? God. How do you do that? By not listening to the uncertain trumpet. The uncertain trumpet says, oh, have we not cast out devils? Do we not do this? Do we not do that? This is the age of gifts, or has been. That's an uncertain sound. Because Jesus, whom we call our head, and our high priest mediator, he said they'll come in that day and say, oh, haven't we cast out devils, done wonderful works, and prophesied? I never knew you. Get out of here. Well, that's quite a simple question. Another question. You're clearly showing us that our passive faith is the most important spiritual asset we possess. Well, sure it is. How are you going to act without knowing how to act? Knowing how to act is not the action. That's wisdom. Acting is power. Some people wonder as to whether they simply have an intellectual faith as opposed to spiritual revelation of the word when it comes around their passive faith. Well, the point is, what are you depending on? Your revelation or what you can do? You know, you can enter into ministry. You have no right to enter into and do all kinds of wonderful things. I said, get out of here. I never knew you. Yeah, they're all singing, my heavenly home is far away, and I'm climbing up them golden stairs. You're going down. Don't sell yourself up for some little song people sing or some little sensation or something happen. I've told you people time and again, I've dared my heart and show you things that happen to me. I say, oh God, I believe that was the devil. Yeah. Physical manifestation to the extreme. Because I was brought up in that. I'm going to get a hold of God until God gets a hold of me. And I'll just be doing things and God and me doing it. Buddy. Now you think that's a show. I got news for you. That's exactly how it takes place. Pentecost ain't got the guts to admit it. They go in their closets and pray for gifts, everything else, and force the hand of God. You'll get it, all right. You'll get it. Like I told you last night about that kid. He's a preacher up there in California years ago. And I wasn't deep in the Branham message at that time. He's telling me how that he prayed and fasted, and he got, I guess, blood and oil on his hand. Oh, Brother Bill, I became so sweet and so nice. And he's playing hobnob to his stupid little wife, who's the preacheress. And I said, sister, God doesn't call women to preach. Oh, Brother Bill, I would sooner doubt myself. I soon doubt my salvation as it says, I understand. She never had any salvation. Say, Brother Bill, you're a judge. Listen, don't talk to me. Here's the Bible. See? Thank you. Absolutely is the truth. I can read. I'm not stupid. And furthermore, my brains have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, whether you want to believe it or not. Because I don't think with my heart. If my heart was so smart as I've said many times, and here's a deadly snake here, and I'm going down, and I don't see the snake, what's my heart doing about it? Nothing, I come and get bit. But watch my eye, boom, I see the snake. Down my brain tank, boom, jump. So don't use your brains. Don't get them baptized with the Holy Ghost. Wait here. God made me speak in tongues. You know, it's a good thing you people are just being taught these things by a guy that's been through it rather than you having been through it. Because it's much easier that way. It's much easier for me to tell you how it is to watch the propeller of the airplane. As soon as you flip and jump quick, or to take part of your skull off, like mine could have been, we'll say, by standing there and part of my skull being taken off. Right? Yeah. Knowledge, my brother and my sister, from the Most High God is the most important thing you and I have. That's your passive faith, your revelation. Because if you don't know whom you got it from, and what you got, and what you are to do with it, you are in debt to God. And if you say your life came from God, and you don't let God control his own life within you, we all have problems, because that's the crux of the whole thing. And we've been thoroughly told in the Word of God all about conduct. But Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the traditions of men, not the conduct. Jesus never condemned their conduct except in the temple, which their conduct was legitimate. But it shouldn't have been there in the temple. It should have been outside the door, because the Bible tells you if you live too far from the temple, so you cannot bring the sacrifice and the gifts, you sell them in your hometown. and you put the money in your purse and you bring it to the temple, to the vendors out there, and you buy. The conduct was acceptable. It's how they did it, where they did it. And he said, you've made my house a den of thieves, because they were cheating. They didn't have that nose for nothing. You wonder if you got a simply an intellectual faith? Well, here's the Bible. Duh. Brother Benting, duh. Why do you think we got up at 5 in the morning and stood in line to get in to hear him? Why do you think I tore my mind and my guts out writing the book? Such nerve strain ever been in my life. Because it's duh. Why do you study to show yourself approved? Study to show yourself approved? Study? Brain? Oh, come on. How can you differentiate an intellectual understanding and a spiritual understanding of the Word? Well, that's simple. They can't make a lineup. They just run with a bunch of things. That's all. Number one, you start with one thing. 1 Corinthians 14:36 and 37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge, superimpose upon everything he ever learned before what I tell you, knowing it is the Word of God and nothing else is. And until you come to that place of that real knowledge, and even then, check Romans 12, because it mixes the whole thing up. So every single person in the church is bound by what Paul said, what William Branham said. And remember, you don't relate it to anything in your past. Your past is no longer a platform. Paul forgot everything he ever knew and ever did. That's why when they say, Brother Bale, you know, I had this vision. I had this dream. And this happened and that. What do I care? Sap. When you see the Lord of glory, brother, there's nothing else left to see. And if you see anything else but this Word, I don't know what you're looking for. Don't let anybody ever bug you as to whether you're mental. I had had my brains baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I can prove it to myself, because I no longer think in any terms but the Word of God as I understand what Brother Branham taught. And that's all there is to it. I got my training before he died, and I've had an awful lot of training after he died. Remember, active faith in the bride is no different from active faith in non-bride. The big difference is one has the Word, the other does not. The big difference is even with the foolish virgin. She doesn't have any oil in her lamps. In other words, the Word is gone out, the life is gone out, and the branch is lopped off. And he said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. And there are those that came in and sat, and they listened to the teaching. But they didn't have the wedding garment on. And your stewardship has been made very plain to us. There are two aspects of believers' life. The first aspect is out of our hands, being a child of the work of God. God covered with his Son. Our election, predestination, new birth, spiritual revelation of the Word, being called bride, etc. Second aspect pertains to that portion of our Christian life which responsibility and stewardship is in our hands, for which it can receive or not receive reward depend upon how we handle it. Knowing that neither a legalistic approach nor impulsive approach can assist us in accomplishing our stewardship, my question is, how can we fulfill our stewardship and realize our true potential in the time remains? Just simply go by the Word. The Lord said, forgive your enemies, forgive them. If he says tithe, tithe. If he says give offerings, give offerings. If he's going to make right with your enemy, make right with your enemy. If he says feed the poor, feed the poor. He said pray for the sick, pray for the sick. Just fulfill the scripture, that's all. There's nothing else you can do. If it starts with the word and ends with the word, that's like an oak board. If it's oak at the one end and oak at the other end, and then nothing had been sawed or put between, it's oak all the way through. Just go along with the word. Drift with it. Have confidence in it. Lord, I've done what you said. Well, he said, just a minute, Brother Bill, but he didn't come through. Maybe he doesn't come through for years and years and years. But he will come through. Haven't we had years and years of knowing that man spoke, thus saith the Lord? And what did he say to you and me before he died? He said, now you got it all. Just live good Christian lives. Lie in the sun and mature. So somebody comes along and changes. The prophet didn't say lie in the sun and rot. They changed Brother Branham's word. Just like the devil did in the Garden of Eden. Oh, it's very clever what he said. As God said. Well, he didn't say this, did he? Didn't say that, did he? Why do they want to say things like that? You know why they want to trap you? Get you nervous, get you excited. Oh, come and do these things with us. Right in Lima here, they had a guy preaching. And his sister came to me and said, "Brother, you're in tears crying." Oh, you know who it is. Ralph, it's your mother-in-law. And he gave me people the altar speaking in tongues according to what she told me. Now, Ann wouldn't lie to me. Doing this and doing that. Come on, here's the Bible. Here's the prophet. What did he say? Well, we're lying in the sun. We're rotting, don't you know? Oh, God. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. Down, put it down where it belongs. Let me tell you something. A while ago, I was on the board here. And we saw branch number one. We saw branch number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, and the seventh branch. And the seventh branch was, start your head, five, six, seven. Down here, she went into the ground. Okay. She began losing out. She goes in the ground. Now, she begins coming back to life. And she puts forth a branch. And we saw, justification. No, there's wrong one here. Here we are. We saw justification under Luther. We saw sanctification under Wesley. And we saw the baptism with the Holy Ghost and gifts. But we didn't see the Holy Ghost himself. Just the baptism. Now the Holy Ghost comes down, and I'll put blue here. Now, the life went out of this into this, out of this into this, lopped off, into this, now into this. Now what did Brother Branham say this age was? Laodicea was what? What part of the plant? Oh, come on. Have I got you so intimidated, merciful God? Everybody knows a chaff. Right? What did he say about the chaff? It looked exactly like the real thing, but it wasn't. So what happened? The life went out of it. Where did it go? So a bride had to begin to form. Somewhere in here. 1955, at the confluence of the stars, a baby bride was born. A pure bride was born. So, the gifts were put on the mantle, as it were, in order to attain to that which is higher. That question is here. You want what happened to gifts? The life went out of it. Did or didn't it? Now, come on. Scares the pants off you, doesn't he? You get scared, don't you? Now, listen, can you face it? I'm going to tell you something. Life or death hangs in what I'm saying. Are you sitting on a fence? It's up to you. or staying back there? What is coming against the Word of the Living God today? All right. What came against the Lutherans? Catholicism. What came against the Methodists? Lutheranism. What came against the Pentecostals? Wesleyanism. Methodists. What comes against this? Pentecostals. So where's the life gone? It's gone back to the Word. So now it's in a bride. At what stage is it known that those using gifts are implying the use thereof and are not so denied by Jesus? What age does it happen? Couldn't happen down here. But Peter said, that which you now see and hear, that's the Holy Ghost. Huh? Paul comes along and says, hold it. That's past. This is a Gentile church. That was the platform. This is a Gentile church. These are gifts. What came against it? The Word. What do they go back to? Gifts. Now we're up here again at the end time. So what do you got? Now you don't have to believe me because it's not on tape. That's fine by me. I was for gifts. But they were deserting me. I thought it was like rats deserting a sinking ship, but it wasn't. It was like the dirigible or the balloon floating and throwing out the ballast because the gifts were holding me down. I didn't know it. So God was throwing out the ballast. I couldn't hardly discern. I was making mistakes. Nothing was coming by prophecy and visions. So I said to Brother Branham, you know, over the years, I had all these gifts moving for me. I said, no, I don't have them. I said, Brother Branham, is it possible the age of the gifts is over? And he said, yes, Lee, the age of gifts is over. Now, when the age of something is over, what happens? The life has gone out of it. Now you got a problem. But remember, as long as there's a true justification, there's a true sanctification, there's a true baptism with the Holy Ghost, and there's genuine gifts, but they're on the mantle, as it were. Don't lie about them. Don't fuss about them. Don't call them of the devil. But don't try to get them unless you have someone at the door who can discern spirits. Because remember, Dr. Clifford, I tell you again, he's dead now. But I've got his books somewhere. I can still get them. He was in Montreal in a Pentecostal meeting. He's a linguist of high repute. He's the man, you ladies, that taught you how to make chiffon pie. Yes, a man. Dr. Cliff. And in there he heard five distinct languages, three praising God beautifully and two cursing God horribly.